As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to what is very sadly the last Vaquero Brandon Marianne Lee episode of the Fantasy Football Podcast for the season. Man, it comes and goes so quickly. With me as always, the great and powerful Christopher L. Vaquero.
Larry. We'll say Christopher Larry.
That works for me.
How you doing, Nando, Brandon? Last episode of this long journey, and we're here. So let's put a bow on the season.
And also, the lovely and wonderful, the comeback kid, Brandon Marianne Lee, completing her first year back in fantasy football. Yay!
Yay! Happy New Year! It's 2022.
It's like you were never gone, right? It's like riding a bicycle, Brandon.
Right. Totally. Just like riding a bike. It was fun. You know, got two little championships out of 11, so that's not too shabby.
Nice.
This last weekend, and yeah, you know, doing it all with my new babe, so it's been good. It's been a good year, and I hope everyone else had a good year too. I mean, if you're listening, you probably didn't have too bad a year, so welcome back.
Right, this is your celebration as well as ours, listeners.
That's right.
This is a party. We're getting a little drunk, although not really. It's 11 a.m. when we're recording this.
Alcoholic
non. Which isn't that, I mean, all right, yeah, you know. And we're going to pick a 2022 first round and a couple extra picks there just to see what goes around the bend. But before we do that, just a quick quick shout out to the NFFC champions. Chris Vaquero did not win. We were all rooting for him.
Thanks, Nath.
I texted him absurd stuff just to keep the luck going every week.
That was absurd. Absurd stuff.
You know, it's usually you acknowledge one, and I think it's your fault for not acknowledging at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you were sending meaningless texts throughout the day on Sunday, and I didn't even realize what you're doing. I was like, does he actually think I'm going to respond to these? I would look down at my phone because I had other people texting me about certain things going on with the games, and you're like texting me like, oh, you know, like, you know, heating up chicken parm. I love chicken parm. You know, like just stuff that has nothing to do. I'm like in the middle of football. He knows what I have going on right now, trying to win this overall title in the NFFC that I, as you mentioned, Nando, I failed miserably and came up short on.
But I didn't say that. You still finished 10th out of like thousands.
9th. Don't jip me.
Single digits.
Yeah, finished 9th overall. Ironically enough, I finished 9th overall this year in the 12-team primetime championship, and I finished 9th overall in the 14-team NFFC Classic overall. So nines were wild this year. So yeah, two top 10 finishes in the two big overall tournaments that the high stakes offers. I'll take it. It was a solid year for me. And it was very, it was a good one and, you know, made some money. But, you know, our boy, Billy Wazowski, I want to give a shout out to him. He comes home with the online championship, $200,000 overall prize. He wins it with a 252-point week 17 score. So shout out to our boy, our good friend, Billy Waz. He deserves it. Great guy, great friend. So, you know, congratulations to him. And, you know, a lot of our listeners had great seasons also. Joey Brown won the regular season Silver Bullet.
Joey Brown's the man.
Yeah, Joey Brown. Great job by him. He's a loyal listener. And, you know, just shout out to all the winners out there, all our listeners that
also a friend.
Home
can't you call him a friend?
Of course. I said
it's kind of demeaning to be like, he's just a listener.
No.
Well, he's our friend.
I didn't. All right, Nando. Why do you got to do this? I said friend.
Because you lied about the text that I sent you.
Yeah. Well, listen,
Dante Foreman having a game.
Yeah.
I won for the first time in a league that I've been in for 13 years.
Nice.
In fact, I've been fourth place so many times. Now, of course, this league is all men. They're all jerks. And I love them. They named the fourth place position the Brandon, and you supposedly get a mani-pedi. Now, I've never actually received one, but supposedly someone has. It is like the biggest smack-talking league ever. I finally won it after 13 years. So, you know, it's like what I love about this particular show that I think is like fun is that we got high stakes, Chris, going on. And I won an industry league too, the Battle of the Sexes league. I beat the male Dynasty Madman as well. And so, you know, I do those too. But like every once in a while you get a pride one and there's just no feeling like pride, you know, where you're like, finally. It was the first league I ever played in. And it was how I found out about fantasy football. I will never forget my first draft pick was Michael Thomas, his rookie season with the Saints. Mm. And my last pick was Kurt Warner when he was not yet the starter of the Arizona Cardinals, and he went on to be a stud. And everyone was like, you don't draft backup quarterbacks. And I was like, listen, I don't know anything about fantasy football, but I know something about regular football, and Kurt Warner is going to be a stud. And he was.
And now there's a movie about him.
Player. Now there's a movie about him. So who are you talking to now? But anyway, so it's fun. You get to also get to win money, get to talk smack. It's like, this is why we love fantasy football. And that's why we're doing this show about next year, because we're already talking about it because we know it's happening and we're obsessed. So thanks, listeners. I just wanted to give you guys all a big old like heart that like, you know, it's also about emotions. At least it is for me.
Nice.
By the way, getting into this draft for 2022, NFFC did a cool thing. I think it was NFFC. Maybe it was Vlad Sedler, I think, sent a screenshot out that had the top 10 in the main event and where they picked. And I noticed that 4 and 5 popped up. I think 5 out of the 10 people picked either 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to that point in the draft, let's pay special attention to it. It seems like that produces winners.
Just for you. Yeah. Yeah. The 4 or 5.
Well, yeah, just for
well,
me.
That's where
not
you
for
took,
people
like,
listening. Who
well, no, Jonathan Taylor wasn't going quite that high yet, right?
Nah, the truth of the matter is Davante Adams was right there in that 4 or 5 spot, and he was on a lot of the winning teams, a lot of the overall winning teams. So that's mostly based on Davante Adams. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, like you said, Brandon, as great as he was, he wasn't going in the top 5. I mean, in the New York Super, I took him 6th overall. I had a good season there. I came up a little short, but that was as high as he was going. Was 6th overall, middle of the first round, but he never was cracking the top 5 overall.
Yeah, I think also there was a Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
4 or 5, and you got to bank a lot of wins at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. and then pivot. So mm-hmm. a lot of people mm-hmm. in NFC are really good at pivoting, right? So they're watching the news. They're not just chilling. Yeah. Right. And so if you were able to bank all those wins off of Derrick Henry at the beginning, you kind of got a head start. So that might be it.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, looking back on this past week, which another crazy week in the NFL, but it, you know, what Ja'Marr Chase, every year I feel like there's two things that happen. Number one, there's a blow up by one player or two players in championship week that just carries all teams in the overall to the championship. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously 55 or 6 fantasy points with Burrow as the quarterback. I know that's how Billy Waz won his title and got to a point total of like 252. Ironically enough, Tom Libretti, who won the $200,000 primetime overall championship, he also won the NFFC Silver Bullet. He pulled the double-double, which is like an all-time crazy year. It's only the second time someone's won 2 overall titles.
He what was
did
the first?
It. Jeff Kelly, actually. All these guys.
Oh, I thought it was you. I thought you were. Didn't you do it?
Winning 2 national champion, 2 overall tournaments in 1 year? No.
Yeah. When did you get in the Hall of Fame for winning 2 big titles at the same time?
No, I won the primetime, and the following year I won the regular season primetime.
Sorry.
Thanks for
sorry to confuse everybody.
Thank you. But
it's called friendship.
Yes, thank you. No, but what he did, was incredible because he had the number one overall team in both tournaments going into the final week, and he did it without Ja'Marr Chase. He won the final week without Ja'Marr Chase. So it was really incredible. I thought that you had to have Ja'Marr Chase this final week to win an overall championship, but he won both titles and put up huge numbers back-to-back weeks. So shout out to him if he's listening. I know he's a New York guy. I talk to him every year. But he had the all-time year. He probably collected about $300,000. So shout out to him. He became legendary in one day.
How'd Glenn Lowy do?
I don't know.
Someone argued that he was always legendary. It was just revealed.
Your obsession with Glenn Lowy is crazy.
Yeah, I like Glenn. He's a nice guy.
May I do my weekly Derrick Henry check-in? I just want to say we're at the end of the standard fantasy season. Some of you are still playing. I'm sorry. But as of after the week 17 games, Derrick Henry finished in half-point PPR number 14 among running backs, sixth in total rushing yards, tied for sixth in total rushing touchdowns. That's incredible.
Wouldn't it be great if he came back this final week to get inside the top 12? You know, for the regular season as a, you know, and for rushing, that would be unbelievable.
The man got hurt in week 8. Yeah. That is over. That is half the season gone. In half the season, he is still a number one running back in 14 team leagues, period, end stop. And by the way, I had him on my IR and I got questions in the mailbag all the time. Should I keep him on my IR? I kept him. Mm-hmm. Did he show up? No. I have zero regrets because had he shown up, I needed him. And in my opinion, just having him there and at the beginning of the season put me in such a good position. I just, it's very intriguing how we're going to all be talking about this next year. But it is incredible. End of season, number 14, half point PPR.
Yeah, and that was a real shame this year for the people that had Derrick Henry. You know, what could have been. He was just putting together – like. You know, I look back now on the season these last couple of days and, you know, as a big Cooper Kupp owner and a big Jonathan Taylor owner, it was a fun season owning these guys. You know, every year, if you latch on to that really great season, it makes fantasy so much more fun for us. Right, Brandon? You know, so owning Cooper Kupp every Sunday, watching him drop 25 points or just going off. Jonathan Taylor, same thing. That's what you Derrick Henry owners were feeling for the first 6-7 weeks of the season. And just to see him go down was really a big disappointment because he was going on a pace that was going to actually dwarf Kupp and Jonathan Taylor. You know, he was having that type of season. So, you know, that was definitely a black eye, you know, this year.
Can we get to next year?
Sure. Let's turn the calendar. Yeah.
All I was saying was that if you picked up Dante Foreman when Derrick Henry went down, I mean, you still got a pretty – he might have screwed you in the semifinal week with his 17-yard performance, but you got 300-yard games out of him. You did get, like, 3 touchdowns. You got a lot of points out of him. If you add that to Henry's output.
No, he was a solid pickup.
Maybe have, like, a top 6.
He was a solid pickup, and Rashad Penny was, like, the championship league-winning pickup these last bunch of weeks. I won a home league based on Rashad Penny, so I just...
Oh, do you want to name everybody in that league, too?
I don't, actually. Actually, you know who it is? It's our friend Ian.
That's not a home league.
No, that's...
You can't count that as a home league.
It definitely isn't a home league, Nanda. You know the high stakes that are involved in that. But I took home that title, by the way. I don't think I told you that, but Rashad Penny was...
You actually did.
Okay, well, Rashad Penny was on that team, and I think Rashad Penny set himself up nicely to be a pretty high draft pick next year as well.
Let me ask you this. Did you pick up Rashad Penny after, like, that frustrating, I think it was like week 9 he came back, and then, like, immediately there's a hamstring strain,
yes.
And I think everyone just dropped him in frustration.
I think we've talked about this on the show weeks ago, probably one of the weeks that you took off again. But he was,
I'm officially off.
Yes, sure. And I picked him up everywhere, like, mid-season, like you said. And then, yeah, I totally re-dropped him again a couple weeks later. When that injury happened, and then he, like, missed another game, and I was like, that's it, I'm done. And, you know, I kicked myself looking back, dropping him then. But at the time, it was the right move. It was, you had to throw the towel in on him. But in this one particular league, actually two, because I picked him up two different leagues. I picked him up right before the playoffs started because of they put Carson on IR. He was going to be done, and Alex Collins was banged up. I said, hey, let's give it one more shot. I picked him up right before the playoffs started, and you know, looking at the last 2 weeks versus the Bears and the Lions, I said, he's got a shot here. Sure enough, he came through, and he put up some big numbers, so it worked out. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky, Nando.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. And sometimes it's skill.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's do this draft. It was before the show, before we started recording, Derek Van Riper gave Brandon Marion Lee the number one pick. And then Chris, of course, complained about it. But Brandon, you still get the number one pick. So, 2022 NFL Draft, as of right now, January 5th, 2022. Brandon Marion Lee, go. You're on the clock.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say Jonathan Taylor and assume we don't have to do a whole lot of analysis about that. Congrats to everyone who went Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. Brandon.
I mean, whatever.
Brandon, I don't think anybody going into next year when they sit down next summer is going to be this isn't going to really be too debatable. It's going to be Taylor. The only other person I can make an argument for here is Derrick Henry, who I'm sure we'll be talking about real soon on this draft board here. But Jonathan Taylor will be the consensus number one overall pick going into 2022 next year.
By the way, let's make this PPR and yes. 6 point. It's not going to make a difference in the first round, but I'd just like to imagine.
No, full time. No, full PPR. That's how we're doing this. Yeah.
6 points per passing touchdown?
Yes, although no quarterback is going to even sniff the first round, so we don't have to care about
that's
that.
What I, yeah, that's what I said. No. Oh, how much? How many points for 2 point conversion?
Brandon, you're on the clock with the second pick.
No, actually, Chris, you're on the clock with this. You already messed up the order.
How did I mess up the order?
Well, Brandon gets the first.
No,
pick.
No, we're doing it. We're doing it. Each person's number one pick, number two pick, number three pick. We're not going back and forth. This isn't a. That's not.
The, you also want to do two versions of the first round?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Both you. Then I guess both you. Pick. I'm not going to argue because Chris is going to pout. So. Hey, by the way, let me tell you that Chris filed his final column on Christmas Eve.
Dedication to my readers.
Made me edit it. I'm out with my family having a good time.
You were doing nothing. Stop.
Yeah, that's cool. That's having a good time.
So true.
All right, anyway, Brandon, go
okay,
ahead.
So I think my second pick.
My loyal listener, Chris Vaccaro.
Yeah, he loves you. It's tough for me. I think I'm going to go Derrick Henry here because even if they take down his product, the volume, okay, let's say they take it down to half. Again, if he played the full season, which would be 16 games instead of eight, he would be the 14th highest running back, period. And I don't think they're going to go down to half. So I do think it'll go down a little bit, but still the productivity where it was at, it was unsustainable for the whole season, as we saw. But even taking it down, I think he's a stud. So I think I'm going to go Derrick Henry number two. I have a little bit of a Najee Harris.
Oh, wow.
Hitting at the back of my head
teaser.
Here a little
there's
bit.
There's the teaser, I guess, for who you have three. But for me, I have it locked in. JT number one, Derrick Henry number two. And I don't see myself moving off that top two at all. So there you go. That's my top two, and we'll head to number three overall, which, Brandon, go ahead. You gave our little teaser there.
Yeah, I want to see who they have at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that no matter what, he is such a a keystone part of that offense. Like, he has to be in the air, on the ground, everything. And if we're doing full point PPR, he becomes a very, very viable option. Every single week, he was top in snap count. I do not see that going away. And yet the usage was not such that it would, like, burn him out. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really think that he's going to have an Austin Eckler type of vibe moving forward.
Nice.
Okay. My number three overall pick next year, I will switch off from the running back position. And here's where we'll see our number one wide receiver. He was the number one wide receiver this year, and I will have him ranked number three overall next year. Cooper Kupp, he outscored the second wide receiver by, what, 50-plus points? He had an all-time season. I think this year, this week, he'll probably break most records. He's putting up an incredible year. Stafford will be back. I guess the only caveat is Robert Woods. If he's still going to be – if he's going to come back healthy, Beckham, like, you know, what's going to happen with the rest of this offense? Who's going to be there? Who's going to be gone? But I don't think that's really going to matter. Cooper Kupp is still going to be an absolute beast. Even if he lost 50 points from his total this year, he would be the number one overall wide receiver. So Cooper Kupp, third overall for me.
That's interesting, you being a Davante Adams guy.
Might hear his name soon.
All right.
But Davante Adams may not be a Packer, may not have Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of question marks with him, whereas Cooper Kupp there isn't, other than not only is there Robert Woods, but now Odell Beckham, Van Jefferson. They're just a lot of mouths to feed. I still love Cooper Kupp, do not get me wrong. I'm probably going to wait a few rounds and get Hunter Renfro, but I hear you. Hunter Renfro, man. Hunter freaking Renfro. Yeah. I just want to put him out
Hunter
there.
Renfro is the new Wes Welker of, like, the you know.
That's a better call.
You know,
yes.
That's like when Brady had Welker back in the day. And even Julian Edelman. Like, you know, that's how you can look at Renfro nowadays. Yep.
Yeah, it's just the usage is out of control, which is what I was thinking with the Cooper Kupp thing. Is like the usage is just so over the top. Okay, so I just, in terms of construction, would probably still leave my wide receivers toward the end. But so number four, I would go with Austin Eckler. I think that's, again, legit moving forward. And if we're in full point PPR, I just think his upside is tremendous.
Okay, so Brandon, through four, has four running backs as the top four picks off the board. So she's sticking old school and staying with the running back position. I'm going right back to the wide receiver position, and this is with the caveat that Rodgers comes back and Adams obviously resigns, and I think the top four overall picks will be locked in with JT, Henry, Kupp, and Adams. I think you'll have two running backs, two receivers if things stay the same. Here's what the other side of this is. I don't expect Rodgers to be back, honestly. I think he rides off into the sunset. I think the Packers win the Super Bowl this year. He said, the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. And he's going to ride off into the sunset and say, thank you. But, you know, give them the finger for what they did, drafting Jordan Love. And he's going to win his back-to-back MVPs. He's going to win his Super Bowl. And then he's going to go and be the quarterback of who knows. But he won't be in
New York Giants.
If that's the – no, probably not. I'm not that lucky. But I know we got to move on. But I will say this. If that is the case and Rodgers isn't there, I wouldn't even think about drafting Davante Adams next year. But this is based on what we have in front of us. Right now, Adams number four overall.
Does everything maybe Adams made Rodgers good?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
That would be a take. I mean, Aaron Rodgers – don't even get me started. Don't take me down.
It's so easy to rile up.
This is about where I would take the Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams dive. Although, depending on the offseason, the other person that I would have in that tier is my guy Justin Jefferson, and I think that's some legit wide receiver one unreal territory. So it depends on what happens there. I don't think anyone's going to, unless something happens to Matthew Stafford, you know, of course, and I don't see any reason to say that, but just saying, like, that would be the only way that I would not have Cooper Kupp there because of that connection. But I believe that Justin Jefferson doesn't even need a connection. He's just so good. And I don't care who's the quarterback, unlike the other two players. I do actually kind of care.
So is that your pick, Justin Jefferson? Is that at number five?
No, I think five would be Kupp, but I think my six, I'm going to say my six is Justin Jefferson.
Okay, wow. So you're going to have Kupp Jefferson and- over. Just say Rodgers is back. You're going to take Jefferson over Adams, Brandon, or?
I don't see a world where I'm assuming in my life that Aaron Rodgers is not there or Adams.
Okay.
I actually think they both leave.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't think Adams stays without Rodgers. I think he's even said that, right?
I think they could franchise tag him. So I'd have to look on what the story is. But I know Adams is going to want to get the hell out of there without Rodgers.
There's seriously no way. So maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just saying that, like, in my mind in 2022, Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Green Bay. Yeah.
I'll just jump in real quick because Brandon already picked him, but at five overall after the two receivers, I'll have Austin Eckler slotted in there. So, offensive line is improving. You got the young stud quarterback in Herbert there, PPR machine, catch 100 balls. You know, it's just the same old question with Austin Eckler every year. It just seems to be nicked up, hamstring issue here and there, but you know, he'll be a top six overall pick next year.
Is the Eckler Harris decision made for you by the quarterback?
Yes, 100%. And offensive line. For me, I would definitely have Eckler over Harris.
What if Rodgers goes to the Steelers?
He won't.
I'm just saying, what if he does?
Different story then.
They'll love him there. Just go from one.
Well, he definitely will. Aaron Rodgers is smart. He's not going to look and say, okay, I'm going to go spend my last couple seasons here behind a weak offensive line with not that many options in the pass game. You know, they have Deontay and Claypool, but that's not enough for him. I could totally see him pulling a Peyton Manning going out to Denver. I think either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson is going to be the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos next year. The two of them are smart veterans trying to get as many Super Bowls as possible at the end of their career. They're going to look and see, okay, we got a bunch of good receivers, some good tight ends, a big time running back. And they're going to go out west.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that it feels like we're trying to say, okay, well, what if this stays? But it's like, it's not going to stay. Those two players are definitely going to go, in my opinion, Wilson and Rodgers. So it's hard for me to do it. In terms of Eckler versus Najee, I just feel like, you know, Austin Eckler turns 27 next year, not a huge deal. But it is like kind of the time where I start getting a little bit dicier. I think he's great. Again, I had him right behind him, but I guess I feel like they're very similar players moving forward, and I would just give, just put that in there. Najee, a little bit of a nod for age and usage, you know, in terms of like wear and tear. I gave my sixth pick. Did you give your six? Because my six was Justin Jefferson.
Right. I'm still waiting on Vaquero's number six.
I gave my five, which was Eckler. So, yeah, Brandon, I guess, went back to back there. So we're good.
Yeah, I did.
Here's where it gets a little dicey, guys. My top five would be pretty much locked in. And then I think next year, this is when the draft is going to get a little, you know, interesting. Because you could go with a lot of different names here. A lot of people are going to be down on Christian McCaffrey. A lot of people are going to be down on Christian McCaffrey. They're going to throw the towel in. I do not think that come training camp, he's 100% healthy, that I'm going to be able to shy away from a Christian McCaffrey in the middle of the first round. And that's where I have him right now, is number six overall. Some people might raise their eyebrows because I see a lot of hate on Twitter through this past month about that's it. McCaffrey's no longer a first rounder, blah, blah, blah. But you know, when a lot of people go and give up and throw the towel in and walk the other way, that's when you can create value. And middle of the first round, Christian McCaffrey, give me him, number six overall.
I think people would love that. If they're picking six and McCaffrey's still there, I think a lot of people would still love that.
I think there's
a lot of people that wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because where do you put Dalvin Cook?
Yeah. I mean, well, his
what if the Saints have a real quarterback? Where's Alvin Kamara? Would you not? Would you not rather have those two guys over Christian McCaffrey?
Absolutely.
I think there's a debate there, right? And so, like, for me, those would probably be my two ahead of Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. But that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
because when he played, he was still a stud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was still getting 25 fantasy points a game. So I don't think you can go much lower than that. But I think people are going to start debating it. Some people are going to think that Joe Mixon should be up there. I think some people are going to think that Javonte Williams should start creeping up, which I think is, you know, fair, you know, in terms of like foresight. Obviously, he wasn't going to get there this year, which we all told you the whole time Melvin Gordon wasn't going away. But if Melvin Gordon does go away, clearly all the other stats back that up. So I get it, but I don't know how you move him any farther down than that other than spite.
No, I mean, and you mentioned the other name right there that I have back to back right there, middle of the first, 6 and 7. I think, honestly, 5, 6, and 7 for me after the big four that I have kind of locked in my brain. I think 5, 6, 7 will be any combination of CMC, Cook, and Eckler. That's my 5, 6, 7. You could put them any which way you want. Preference, you know, people are going to be down on both. CMC missed time with injury. Cook was banged up, missed time with injury, came back, got hurt again, got COVID. But people will just get frustrated with certain players, and then they drop them a couple pegs down. I have another running back that I'm going to bring up that's coming off the board for me. But Brandon, back to you. After those three right there in the middle of the first, who do you have?
Yeah, so I think that basically our big difference here is that you still haven't ranked Najee Harris.
Correct.
Yet, whereas I have him like I'm in the top three.
Right.
So I think that this is where we start getting into the do we keep Tyreek Hill and, you know, Deebo Samuel in the mix?
Oh, wow.
Because Deebo, where does he begin? Well, is he the end of the – is he toward the end here of this first round?
Yeah, well, cliffhanger. Don't give it away now. Cliffhanger. Let's see if either one of us have
Well, because in the middle here, I would agree with you. We got this Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, I think, are the next ones. And the only reason they're even down there is because of injury, quarterback uncertainty, kind of issues outside of their control. But awesome upside will always be 20-point dudes, you know, possible 6-touchdown guys, you know, kind of caliber players. So to me, that would be my, like, 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
So you got Jefferson?
Oh, that's 7, 8, 9, I guess.
Just so I'm keeping track of this for
you've
posterity.
Lost control, Nando. Let's be honest.
I haven't lost control. 7, 8, 9.
I think it was Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry.
I got that Harris, Eckler, Kupp, Jefferson.
Eckler, Kupp,
and then you had your 7, 8, 9 kind of in a vague order.
So then I would do Kupp, Jefferson, right, and then I would do probably in that order: Cook, Kamara, McCaffrey.
Oh, you have Kamara in there. I didn't hear Kamara, but
I did. Everyone listening
it's
did.
Fine. You know what? Kamara is going to be in it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to keep track as well, I guess, Nando. Kamara is going to be an interesting one for me.
You know, Vaccaro's writing these down on legal paper right 100%,
now. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up a name that I don't think maybe either of you expect to hear in the first round, but he's going to be slap dab in the middle of the first round for me. I know I'm obsessed with the guy, but I don't expect Kareem Hunt to be back in Cleveland next year. And if that's the case and this backfield opens up, Nick Chubb will be firmly in the middle of the first round for me. And I'll probably be the high man on him. I have Nick Chubb at 8 going into next year with the assumption that Kareem Hunt will be out of there.
Hey, how come you didn't shout out Madika for all the guys who finished really high?
That's my oversight, and you're right on that. And I was talking overall winners, I guess, at the time. And my boy, Matty Modica, finishing 4th and 5th overall in the prime time. Unbelievable season by him. Great player. Even better guy. So good oversight.
I think we've all hung out together. Haven't we all hung out together?
Well, me and Matt hang out. We don't invite you anymore. But we
I wouldn't show. I mean, yeah, okay.
Matter of fact, we had our steak dinner, me and Matt, you know, last month.
I hope you didn't.
And we were just like, let's keep it between us and let Nando, you know, not show up.
Yeah, you know, you're making it sound like a joke.
Because he hasn't come out of his house in 2 years because he's scared.
That's not true at all.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm actually pretty sure me, you, Brandon, Medica, like Corey, like back in the golden age, all were hanging out drinking. Probably the GST.
Oh, remember when we could leave our home? That was fun.
Remember when we used to see people?
Oh, man, it's wild. Yeah, no, I agree. I think Nick Chubb is being very, very overlooked here. I completely agree with you. And I think that we're going to be talking about how he is a value play all off season, because people are going to get very high on the Javonte Williams, Elijah Mitchell. There's going to be, you know, all this talk. I think another person that's going to get overlooked, who I think, again, has a lot of room to continue with a lot of dominance next year, is DeAndre Swift. And I'd like to throw him in there as well as someone to just, I don't know if he quite makes this top first round for me. I'm kind of looking at my stuff here,
loaded
but
first round.
To me, he is another really good end of first round, depending on the size of your league, guy that I would feel very confident in building my team.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the eighth pick here of the first round, Brandon, and what a first round it's going to be next year again. You know, there's a bunch of names that I'm still have on my list here that has not, it's loaded. And you got to expect the top 24 off the board again. The first two rounds is going to look like this past year, because I remember going and speaking to guys and being like, hey, the second round is almost as good as the first round here. And it's, you know, fantasy is going to be two rounds deep again next year with studs. And the drafts are going to start around that third round range. But you're going to get stud players throughout the first 24 over and over again here.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, I know we're doing this whole first round here, but I'm already, as I said, like I threw out one of the people that I'm already excited for down the board is like Hunter Renfro. When can I get him? When can I get Amon Ross St. Brown? Mm. When can I get some of these like guys that really kind of like came up, started really performing, and are just upside plays? We haven't even talked about the guy who won everyone the championship, which is Ja'Marr Chase. I think he has to be at the end of the first round.
Well, let's go right there. And that's right where I have Ja'Marr Chase, is right here in this 9-10 range as the third receiver off the board next year, right there with Justin Jefferson. And that's where I would slot back in these two wide receivers, Brandon. Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, the third and fourth wide receivers off the board for next year. Both, like you said, at the end of the first round, they'll make it right there on the turn. But I expect these two names to be really popular in that 9 to 13 overall range when drafts start up.
So you're taking Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson over. Let me just make sure I got this right.
Yeah.
No, you got Davante Adams. No, I'm just making sure I got this
Davante
right.
Adams,
Debo Samuel,
fourth overall.
You got Debo Samuel. You take him over Joe Mixon. You take them over Michael Carter, your guy.
Oh, come on, dude.
Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill.
Yes. Tyreek Hill. Right. Tyreek Hill will not be a
Ezekiel
first
Elliott?
Rounder for me. Now you're just throwing names out. Zeke Elliott won't even be in the top two rounds. On the
Matt Medica.
Great guy. Won't be drafted.
All right.
Be drafted.
No, I mean, I guess we're bouncing all over the place here at the end of the first round, and you threw out Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon does crack my top 12 first round. He's right there. I have him 11th overall. So two Bengals make the first round of next year's draft for me, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. And, you know, Najee Harris is the other name. So I know we're going.
Hey Brandon, thanks for
participating. No, I'm just saying, because you throw out names and I can't say I'm overlooking them, but you know, Brandon, what would your sum it up, I guess, 9 through 12? Is that where we're at? What would your back?
Oh, we got 9. Her 9 is McCaffrey.
Okay. So 10 through 12 is, what do you got, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you, I kind of have a little smattering here, and I kind of wrote down what I think is it, but I don't feel great about it. But I actually think if I'm going through 12, it would be to me Nick Chubb, DeAndre Swift, and then I have Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay,
and that's... I don't have DeAndre or Davante Adams in my top.
Whoa, oh well, based on not Rodgers being there, obviously.
Correct. So again, that's my assumption mm-hmm. on this. So that would be me without having him in there. Right. I just think that Swift's potential is just massive. So, but to me, Ja'Marr Chase is the number three wide receiver of next season.
No complaint.
And I don't even think that's like a really like big hot take or anything.
I mean, I don't think it's a hot take at all. I mean, I have him right there with Jefferson, 3 and 4. It's just, it's so funny how, you know, we were in love with him coming into his rookie season. Watching him at LSU a couple of years ago, I said, we'll be drafting this guy in the first round after his rookie season for the next 10 years to come. And here we are, you know, not to blow my own horn here, but here we are going into the second year and he's going to be a first rounder where he belongs. So he proved out to be exactly what we all thought he would. He is an absolute stud. He's going to be well on his way to a Hall of Fame career, this kid, and get used to his name, because we'll be talking about Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow throwing to him for the next 10 years, the same way we talk about Rodgers and Davante Adams here. Ja'Marr Chase will be locked into the first round, as long as he stays healthy, obviously, from here on out, going forward. He'll be a top three overall wide receiver.
Does anyone go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that probably the big strategy question going into next season is that neither of us had a tight end in the first round. But remember, that was the strategy of the right. year. And I think what's important to kind of point out here is that it's not necessarily that anyone bombed, really. Actually, the people we thought would be good were good for the most part, but they weren't better than the people at other positions that you could have taken. So it's kind of an overall points thing. Now, if you have bonuses for tight ends, okay, or if you have circumstances that are different with your league settings, then that is one thing. But even with bonuses with tight ends, it was really going in and out. And truly, the stud of the year was Mark Andrews. In terms of where you could draft him and the value that you got back. So it really kind of, I know this sounds bad, but I kind of just wait for other people's takes on tight ends and pick the fourth one. However they think is, I have a lot of Mark Andrews in my life right now because no one was as high on him as they were about the big three. So I was like, then I'm going to sweep him up. So, and is Darren Waller still in the big three? Or
he will be.
Big three now. Kittle, Kelsey.
I think people will be very sour on Kelsey going into next season. He'll be 34 years old. Kelsey was very... I still don't know how to judge and view Kelsey based on this past season. I mean, remember, he had the game versus the Chargers in, the first week of the fantasy playoffs, where he had 40-something points, and he just destroyed it. And then everybody was back on the Kelsey train. Everybody was back. This is why you take, you know, Kelsey in the first round. I don't hear anybody talking. But then there was like the month earlier where every game was just slow. He had another slow game this past week. He'll have another year under his belt. He'll have probably another long playoff run this year. So an extra 2, 3, 4 games where he has to play and get beat up a little bit. I'll be completely off the Travis Kelce bandwagon again going into next season. I don't think you'll see Travis Kelce in the top 24 next year. I think he'll be third round and after. I would definitely be more into the younger tight ends, the Wallers, as you know, coming back into the season next year healthy. Kyle Pitts in his second season. George Kittle's younger. Those three tight ends I'd rather have going. And Mark Andrews, I got to throw his name in there. Mark Andrews won everybody all the money this year. He was on everybody's championship winning teams. He had a major 3 weeks in the fantasy playoffs. So those guys. And I got to throw in TJ Hockenson. Hockenson, he was having a solid season, got beat up. He missed time with injury. But Hockenson as a young stud tight end, he'll be there too. So the tight end position will look very similar to what it was this year.
And I would say that Detroit kind of came into their own a little bit here. you know, and they really kind of found, even though they're mostly losses, people, don't get me wrong, I'm not losing my mind here, but they found like a very interesting, almost like a wavering identity when like Swift was healthy, Swift wasn't healthy, Amon-Ra St. Brown came forward, Hawkinson had big games. There's a possibility that they can sort some things out. I agree with you on him. Kyle Pitts is a really interesting one because even though he went over 1,000 yards, which was amazing, it was the only tight end to do it since the 60s, which was Ditka, so good on you. And that's without the extra game talk here, you know, because no one did it with the 17 game seasons before. So that's awesome. But he was kind of the only tight end who didn't get hurt. And he was 14th in average points per game at the tight end position. So it's not like you got a lot of great games. You were getting like 8 points a game on average in half point PPR leagues. In full point, I think you got around 10, but you never really, you got like two big games and everything else was just like meh. And so the thing is that it was kind of like the least exciting 1,000-yard season, even though it was actually historic. Yeah. So it's hard to know what to do with that. So it'll be interesting, but I agree with you. I'd rather have Pitts than Kelsey. I think that's probably going to be the normal take come, you know, half a year from now when everyone's talking about it. Cause I think that, yeah, I mean, the age for Travis Kelce is rough. Although his usage is still high, he's still, you know, at the position, you know, a stud, but it's hard. And I just think that more than anything, this reinforced, which I actually tweeted about this going into week 17, I think it's only 8 tight ends had over 130 fantasy points in half point PPR leagues. And yet there were like 14 kickers that did. You know, and by the way, they're predictive. People that say that kickers aren't predictive, they actually are. And so it's fascinating to me that we have this whole ban kickers thing, but not ban tight ends. Because frankly, I was that frustrated with tight ends this year where I was like, make them all flexes, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with them. And frankly, if you're in one of those leagues, I probably wouldn't want it.
Yeah, let's not forget another tight end.
Ban tight ends.
I mean, everybody wants to ban defenses, ban kickers, like Jake always says, and now ban tight end. Like, oh, we have anything? Why don't we just have a running back and wide receiver league at this point?
That's right. And all the saucy quarterbacks that we can fit in there.
Dalton Schultz is going to be interesting to me. I want to see what happens in this Dallas offense. Going into next year, Schultz really came on strong. He's been solid all year long, but you know, he's proven to be. I think he could be a top 7 tight end going into next year. Also,
yeah, I agree. So I just want to—it's 6 tight ends. Only 6 tight ends going into week 17 had over 130 fantasy points, and 10 kickers had it. Yeah, and if you don't, the Linda at Lindy Lyons. Lindell Lyons, LINDELLIONS, actually analyzes kickers on Twitter, and no one else does. So if you're ever needing that,
nice. Call her.
You know, this is kind of interesting. Like, if you have a crappy tight end, and probably not, but remember how people sometimes are like, hey, I didn't pick up a kicker. I didn't start a kicker this week because, you know, I had too many buys and I didn't want to drop someone who might be valuable in a couple of weeks for my kicker.
That's ridiculous.
People have done it. It's happened. All right, you're right. So let's not talk about it.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Happens.
I mean, why do you automatically take a zero? I don't get it, but go ahead.
All I'm saying is maybe those people should consider, if they have a crappy tight end, leaving the tight end position blank instead. If you don't have one of the top 10.
My strategy with picking kickers always used to be warm weather and indoors. That would be my focus, okay? But now, these last couple of years, I've realized I just want kickers in high-powered offenses because everybody's just like, oh, then all you're going to do is get extra points. No, it doesn't work out that way. I'm always learning still, you know, as many years as I've done this. My kicker this year was Zerloin and Suckup. Like, just in every league. It was the Dallas kicker, Tampa Bay kicker. And it's just so easy. Sure, you're going to run into those weeks where you just get, you know, 5 points, but it's 5 extra points. But at least your team is always in the red zone, always scoring. Sometimes the drive stalls out and you get your field goals. But believe it or not, these offenses, you look up some Sundays and they get 3 field goals and 4 extra points. And before you know it, it's a 15-point day. That's it. I just don't want kickers on these teams that at the end of the day you look and it's they lost, you know, 34-7 and you got 1 point. No, give me the kickers on big time teams, the Buckers with the Chiefs. This is why you get these guys. They're always going to be scoring, whether it's extra points or in field goal range. At least you know you're not getting shut out at the end of the day on crap offenses that don't cross midfield for, you know, four quarters. It's just get kickers on good offenses.
Or, like, offenses where the number one kicker this year is Nick Folk for the Patriots. Functional, always going for points. Bill Belichick always wants the points. Always wants the points, that guy, right? But they're always functional, right? And then my MVP, kind of, not quite MVP because I had Burrow, but was Evan McPherson from the Cincinnati Bengals, who was number two this year in terms of average points per game. So, and we saw it actually in the game, right? When they couldn't get it into the the end zone. And then they were like, well, we got to do this, you know, field goal. And they were had, what, I think 9 tries to do it. It happens, but at least they're in the zone where they can kick a field goal. Some of these teams are so bad, they don't even get down the field.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't get those kicks. So it's, yeah, I agree with you. I just think it's interesting that in a show about next year, we talk about the whole first round and we just didn't even bring up a tight end. Yeah. And so I thought it was just worth like bringing up that like it's very different than next year. And maybe that's going to make the tight end position more value-based as opposed to this where you had – this year where you had to reach.
So we're talking about that and I'm just thinking in my head, I don't think – based on what we're saying, I don't think in the top two rounds we're going to see a quarterback, and I don't think we're going to see a tight end. I think it's going to be another season of – not another season because Kelsey and Waller were both top 20 overall picks this past year. But I don't think you'll see either position there. I think the top 24 overall picks this year – next year will be all running backs and wide receivers, and rightfully so. I think that's the way that, you know, it's breaking down. But – Just to get back to, you know, I know this is the first round breakdown for next year, and we pretty much went through our top 12. But just to talk about the turn here, Brandon, a couple names that are just on the outside for me that can easily be in my 9 to 12 range. I really struggled with the end of the first round. So, you know, just put these names right there. And you mentioned a couple of them, but Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, I completely don't expect to be back in Denver. Javonte Williams could come off the board as high as like 6th, 7th, 8th overall next year. I think the hype on him, we see it every year. A player in August gets like really hyped up and gets moved up and up and up in the first round. I think that name will be Javonte Williams. He's already gained so much steam this year. The fantasy community loves him. Loves, and rightfully so. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He's behind a good offensive line. If they ever did bring in Rodgers or Wilson to be quarterback there, oh my God, now we're talking, you know, maybe the first half of the first round. That's how high he can possibly go. Some people will really try to plant their flag next year and say, oh, I'm the high Javonte Williams guy and take him in that 5-6 range. But Javonte Williams, end of the first round, no problem with that. I haven't mentioned Alvin Kamara. I don't know what it is. I've never been a huge Kamara guy. That's probably on me, but I just think this offense and this team is going backwards. The quarterback position is up in the air there. I think I could see Kamara fall into the end of the first round, early second round. I'll probably be off of him next year like I was this year. It's just one of those players that, you know, isn't my guy. So we all have those people, those players that aren't just your guy. He won't be for me. And you mentioned DeAndre Swift. And I think going into next year, I think he's somebody you got to consider right there at the end of the first, early second round as well.
And I think also I'm a big on not doing as much analysis as I probably should. But I really wait till after the draft because everything could change. But in my opinion, DeAndre Swift's one of the only people where I'm not afraid of the draft whatsoever. Where I'm like, there's no way they're going to go for a stud running back. That's the least of the Detroit Lions' problems. So I feel very confident in him. Whereas some of these dudes, once we get past this, it's really about next year. Like, I know a lot of people are very high on Cam Akers coming back next year and just killing it, right? Okay, well, I'd love to see that. But they did okay without him. I don't know. I would need to see what they do, especially because they don't have a lot of high draft picks. They only have the low ones now because they're going all in. Good for them. But, like, I don't know what they're going to do at that position and how they're going to move things around or what have you. So I don't know about the volume, right? They're just some dudes that I don't feel great about. For me, the turn is Deebo Samuel, Javonte Williams, Joe Mixon, A.J. Brown, and Davante Adams.
Yeah, A.J. Brown
are kind of my next.
So, game. I mean, we talked about pretty much all those other guys. Deebo, I wouldn't have that high. I think he'll be a second rounder. I just don't think he'll be that high. Maybe I'm wrong on that one, but I just think everything broke so perfectly for him this year, running and receiving with the issues that they had in the backfield. I don't think he'll be right there at the end of the first. But you did bring up A.J. Brown, and he's going to be really interesting because he is another player that broke people's hearts this year, me included. You know, he bombed here in week 17, broke my heart in my championship lineup with only 6 points.
But he got
but
you
he
in.
Got me, but he, got he, but he put 17. Me in the position the week before, correct. But, you know, before that, he was nowhere to be found for the last 2 months, you know, and he was a complete bust of a pick. It just was a weird scenario where he came back in week 16, blew up, had a huge game. And now it's like it leaves us fantasy owners when we go into the draft next year. We're like, well, what do we how do we view this guy? Is he the guy that's always hurt, has hamstring issues, misses time? Or is he that week 16 guy that is uncoverable, is a complete wide receiver one beast that can drop 10 for 150 and 2 touchdowns any week? Do we fade him even more because a healthy Derrick Henry will be there and you know, there'll be a heavy run team again controlling the clock with Derrick Henry? Like, it's not like a wide open pass game, you know, in Tennessee. He's going to really be, I think, all over the board. You know, I don't even know if he'll be drafted in that second round next year, to be honest with you.
I think people are going to look at the full picture and go for him, I think. But that's just my silly opinion.
Well, and I did want to say one like stat thing about quarterbacks, because again, this is a first round show. We got into the second and no one's going to be taking him. And I'll tell you why. There were 10 quarterbacks that scored 20 or more fantasy points on average in 4-point quarterback leagues. You do not need to take them. This is the thing. There's not one that's really going to break it open for you, because the best one was Josh Allen with 24.61. But I mean, 10 others from 20 points and above, that's only a 4-point difference. There's no reason for you to believe that your quarterback is going to set you enough apart, right? And one of the quarterbacks in there was hurt a lot, which was Kyler Murray, right? So you didn't even get that boost because he wasn't even in for a ton of games. And now Lamar Jackson's also in that group. He's also not in a ton of games. I think that it just doesn't make any sense, like in terms of strategy, to take a quarterback early. Period. End stop. I beg every year people not to do it. Wait it. You know, I told everyone, wait for those Joe Burrow, that area there, right? It really makes a lot of sense, you guys, to wait. And I just think this year really drove that home.
I'm always going to be, you know, I'll always push back on that, Brandon. I'm a QB snob. I know how important the quarterback, in 6-point passing, let me always distinguish this, because earlier in playing fantasy football, I would always make this argument and then
hurry up because we got to wrap this up.
Not realizing that, you know, most people are playing 4-point passing leagues, and my strategy would change there. But in 6-point passing leagues, and we just came off of a year seeing how important the fantasy quarterback was, you know, the Bradys of the world and the Josh Allens and stuff like that. You really couldn't go wait on quarterback, pick a couple off the, you know, the after the 15th round and be really successful this year. I just always think that the fantasy quarterback, the guys that can constantly give you 30 plus points every week, are just so valuable to the fantasy team. And it saves you so much money and decision making in fab and every week with the decisions you have to make between a couple quarterbacks. I will say Kirk Cousins was, you know, an exception to the rule this year as a guy you got late that helped you out a lot. But he had some weeks where he bombed as well. But I always like the security blanket of having the big time fantasy quarterback.
But see, I like the fantasy quarterback of you could have gotten Burrow late. Remember, like Trey Lance and Justin Fields are going before Burrow.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there were a lot Burrow of picks was the like answer. That. Where it was
Burrow
like,
was the answer, Brandon. But in the, I mean, I don't. This is a discussion.
Hurts. Jalen Hurts was the answer.
Yeah, but these
I
guys
mean,
were,
frankly, Justin Herbert even was going lower than he should have been going.
Yeah, but you just. I mean, Herbert was the seventh quarterback off the board in high stakes this past year. He was going in like the 70s and 80s. Right. So that's not like late. I'm, you know, the conversation's different here. I'm talking like
I'm not talking wait till the end. I agree. I think the streaming quarterback thing is rough, but I don't think you need to take it in the first few rounds.
I just wanted to clarify because Burrow and Hurts were both top 12 quarterbacks also in NFFC and FFPC. They were high stakes. They were the 10th and 11th quarterback, I think, off the board. So they were QB1s. My conversation is the crowd of people that say quarterback isn't important. Just wait till the end. Draft the 18th quarterback off the board in the last round and you'll be fine. And like, no, it doesn't work that way. It's not that easy. You know, you need a big time quarterback that can, you know, slot into your lineup every week, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. I don't want you to wait till the 15th round, people. Please do not wait till the 15th round.
We got to save this for next year preseason or whenever we come back.
Sure.
If we come back, Chris Vaccaro playing hardball, doesn't want to come back to the show, doesn't want to write anymore. Just wants to sit on his pile of ninth place cash and make fun of me and ignore my texts.
Yes. Sounds good, Nando. Whatever you
Friendship.
Say.
All right. Seriously, though, thank you all for listening, friends and others. We hope you enjoyed the show. We enjoyed doing it, I think. At least one of us did.
Brandon, I enjoyed doing the show with you all year long. I just want to tell you that.
Oh, you guys are great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been really fun. It's been really nice to get my feet back into it, and it's been great to be with you guys. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
We're coming for
you.
You
guys are so smart.
FSWA, I think. I don't know if we actually applied.
Great job, Nando.
But we'll see. Hey, talk to DVR. Who's producing this show?
Wow. Throwing DVR under the bus.
I'm not throwing him under the bus. I said talk to him. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we love you all. Thank you. Good luck. I don't know if you're going to bet or play week 18 or just kind of hang out and watch the games and enjoy it all. But, you know, maybe some boxes for the Super Bowl. Good luck in those. And we hope to see you again soon. But for now, thank you all. We're out of here.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.